heating up, and families, friends, and neighbors are getting ready to gather for
the ultimate cookie showdown. It's the 2017 Chicago Tribune Holiday Cookie Bake Off. Who will crumble the competition? It's up to you, Chicago, to decide.
Visit chicagotribune.com/bakeoff to submit your recipes and vote on your favorites. You have until October 25th to enter. Then the voting begins.
The heated battle starts now.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for the opening bell with Steve Grzanich coming up next. And we'll see you tomorrow. Fly Jams Friday, Jeff Tuckman, and all the Friday stuff. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. WGN News time is 5 o'clock. The news is sponsored by Green Tea Services, and here is Vic Vaughn.
Thanks, Nick. Clear skies and 57 degrees this morning at O'Hare. Today, many of Chicago's competitors will try to outdo the city's bid for Amazon's second headquarters. Details right after WGN Traffic with Mary Vannevelle.
And good morning. Looking pretty good on the roadways so far this morning. Most of the overnight road work has been cleared. Accident North Avenue outbound in the Kennedy is being reported. And seeing some delays coming in on 55, especially into 53, due to overnight road work. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search T-R-A-F-F-I-X Chicago.
You remember everything about the movie, the actors, the plot.
Central.
Yeah, Chicago turned in its proposal on Monday to become Amazon's second headquarters city. Today, its competitors will do so. It's the deadline for submittal for cities and states trying to land Amazon and its 50,000 jobs. The WGN's Ryan Burrow reports.
St. Louis is hoping sportscaster Joe Buck can help land Amazon's highly sought HQ2.
I choose to call St. Louis my home. And I hope you will, too.
In Frisco, Texas, they're leaning on Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
We have caught the energy of Frisco. We've got it. It's the flu, the Frisco flu.
Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton isn't going fancy with their bid.
A business-like proposal without the gimmicks and the gadgetry.
Governor Rauner and Mayor Emanuel submitted Chicago's final proposal on Monday. The hunt is over for an accused triple murderer. Radeep Prince is now in custody. He was the subject of a two-state manhunt wanted for shooting and killing three co-workers in Maryland and in the shooting of a man about an hour away in Delaware. The FBI has announced a major crackdown on a sex trafficking ring. ABC's Todd Ant tells us the youngest victim recovered during the operation was just 3 months old, and the average age of victims recovered was 15.
She shut the door.
FBI surveillance at a Toledo, Ohio truck stop during Operation Cross Country, a nationwide effort focusing on underage human sex trafficking this year. The sting recovered 84 minors with the help of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
120 traffickers were arrested. A new report on Russia's efforts to influence last year's elections have uncovered ongoing efforts to stir up racial conflict in the United States. Congressional investigators pointing out a group called Black Matters U.S. says the group used social media to get a mention in a rap video about police brutality and tried to organize at least two rallies. ABC News chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross reports.
Congressional investigators say Black Matters U.S. was actually set up by the Russians during the 2016 election to stir up racial tensions. And the Russians remained busy even after the election. Another Russian group called Black Fist organized self-defense classes, supposedly for protection against the police.
It says in that attempt, five American fitness trainers were hired and used to run those classes. And back locally, no deal yet on negotiations to end a teachers' aid strike in Palatine. 450 members of the union walked off the job on Monday over wages, sick leave, and retirement incentives. The district filed a lawsuit trying to force them back to work. It claimed they were needed for vulnerable students. A judge ordered more than 160 of them back to work yesterday. The next bargaining session is set for Sunday morning. An update now with WGN Sports. Good morning, David.
Thank you. Good morning. The Cubs play on at least another day. They kept their hopes alive, continuing a couple of trends, but breaking another one. Like in games 1-3, the Cubs scored first, and their only runs came via the long ball. Both were true again last night, but the trend they snapped, they won 3-2 of the Dodgers to cut L.A. series lead to 3-1. Wilson Contreras put the Cubs ahead with a tape measure home run off Alvarez.
Another blow to the credibility of Japan's third largest steelmaker, as a U.S. Justice Department asks Kobe Steel to hand over documents on products it supplied to U.S. companies. Data tampering was rife at Kobe for more than 10 years, deepening what's already a clear-cut crisis.
The Dow closes above 23,000 for the first time. The benchmark Dow Industrials closed above 23,000 for the first time on Wednesday. It's only been 2.5 months since they cracked their last 1,000-point milestone. Today, the big reason for the Dow's rise was IBM shares. The computing giant reported quarterly results and encouraged investors with a revenue report.
Two powerful companies are squaring up to do battle for Saudi Arabian online shoppers. Noon.com launched in the UAE this month. That will spark a race with Dubai-based Souq.com, known as the Amazon of the Middle East even before the world's biggest online retailer bought it this year. Less than 1% of sales are online in Saudi, even less than the Middle Eastern average. Shopping in malls is popular. Strict social restrictions in the Islamic Kingdom mean there isn't a lot else to do. So both companies are punting on a huge retail shift and on being there first when it happens.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's October 19th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're back with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. And go Cubs, right? Nice win by the Cubs last night to keep the NLCS alive. Of course, we'll have details on that throughout the morning with Dave Hennett. He'll be along in sports with Vic in the news coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have lots to cover today in the show. Later, the deadline is today for cities to get in their bids to be the new home, the home of the second headquarters for Amazon, HQ2. We will talk with Dale Buss a little bit later on in the program to see how the competition is shaking out. Chicago, one of those. A lot of Midwestern cities, a number of cities in the country are vying for this, sort of the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. We'll talk to Dale later, and we'll bring in our thought leader momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, stock futures have fallen sharply this morning, led by a hefty tumble for the NASDAQ 100 futures. eBay shares slid almost 1.5%. Dow futures this morning are off nearly 88 points. And NASDAQ futures are down nearly 34 points. S&P futures down about 9. We'll be continuing to watch that. eBay shares after that third quarter results. The stock taking a big hit in pre-market trading today. Their earnings miss and concern over future operations for eBay. Not a good report from them today. In Asia this morning, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei up almost 0.5%. The Hang Seng is off nearly 550 points, down nearly 2%. And the Shanghai is off about 11 points. In Europe this morning, the FTSE is off by about 20 points. That's about 0.25%. The DAX off by about 0.5%. And the CAC in France is off about 0.5% as well. This morning, oil is trading at $51.35 a barrel. A couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. Blue Apron is cutting about 320 jobs just 4 months after the meal kit supplier became a public company. New York-based Apron, Blue Apron, which had nearly 5,400 employees in June, said yesterday the layoffs represent about 6% of the workforce there. The state of Illinois has designated 6 sites around the state as enterprise zones to encourage business development. The Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity announced the sites yesterday. The enterprise zones include sites in Chicago, in Douglas County, in Effingham, downstate in Effingham County, an intermodal operation shared by Jersey and Greene counties, Massac County in far southern Illinois, and Whiteside County. The enterprise zones are meant to encourage investment in depressed areas. And President Trump, if he succeeds in shutting down a major Obamacare subsidy, it would have an unintended consequence of making basic health insurance available to more people for free and making upper-tier plans more affordable. The unexpected assessment comes from consultants, policy experts, and state officials trying to discern the potential fallout from a Washington plan that is becoming harder to follow. What's driving the odd outcome? It's because another of the health law subsidies would go up for people with low to moderate incomes, offsetting President Trump's move.
It is Thought Leader Thursday, and we're happy to have with us again John Horton today. He's Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank and an SVP there. John, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
I don't want to ruin your morning, but there's a couple of things out in the news over the last day or so that's concerning, I think, to people who are homeowners or thinking about it, and certainly mortgage brokers and people like yourself. First, let's start the numbers yesterday. Housing starts down significantly, 5% in some places. What is that going to translate into for the real estate market?
You know, it really depends, obviously, on where you're looking. They were saying there was a big housing start hit with the horrible weather, you know, down south. It really put everybody back and triggered a lot of negative, obviously, with the rebuilding that has to happen. But people blame anything. You know, you could blame the bad weather. You could blame the Cubs. You could blame anything. But it's really a mindset on what people want to do. They're down now. Could be the fall. Once it gets into the holidays, they're saying it might pick up. It kind of goes back to what you read and who you believe.
Yeah.
But with them down again, I think it might negate the factor of the Fed raising the rates. We talked about that last time, is the rates have been low. The Fed was supposed to raise them 6 times this year. They said they might be up as far as 5% on a 30-year fix by the end of 2018. And I think that might be just scaring people. You know, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sit tight. And then in retrospect, they might not do anything. So you kind of have that double-edged sword that do I do it now or do I wait? And it's almost to the point where you just got to bite the bullet. It's a great time to buy a house. Prices are low. The inventory is high. And people want to sell.
What are mortgage rates right now, generally?
Right now, off-the-sheet pricing, again, depending on credit appraisal, there's a lot that factors into it. The 30-year fixed has been hovering between 3.875 and 4% for, I want to say, a couple of months. But again, if it's a condo, it's credit, so there's different factors that go into those rates. But if you were just to look for the 30-year fixed rate, ARMs right now, you're still in the low threes, high twos.
And give us again a sense of historically how that is low or high.
It's low. It's low. Really, for the last 7 years, you saw the 30-year fixed rate. I think the low point on the 30-year fixed rate several years ago was about 3.25, 3.5. But to bump up 3/8 in 7 years with everything that's going on, it's really not a big rate spike.
So if people are on the fence about refinancing now, is it still a good time to also refinance?
It's a good time, and it's funny you said that. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago, and there are some people that are going from a 15-year to a 30-year. You see, some people do the opposite because they want to cut down the amortization, but other people right now, especially retired people that are living on pensions and Social Security, they're finding if they increase their term from 15 to 30, they're actually giving themselves more income. So instead of spending $1,500 on your mortgage payment on a 15-year, they might be paying $900 on a 30-year. They got $600 extra a month in their pocket. And they can use that to still pay down their mortgage. But it's an interesting way to look at it, because normally it would be, if I'm in a 30, I want to go to 20. I want my house paid off. Now people are at the point where, you know what, let me increase it. I'll still pay it off, but I have that little cushion in my pocket at the end of the month.
You know, and I've been hearing commercials, too, about how you can refinance your property in a way that if you're, let's say you're 20 years into a 30-year mortgage, you don't have to start all over again at 30.
Oh, absolutely.
Years. How does that work?
It's, you can go into a 10-year mortgage. You can do a 26-year mortgage. You have people that have been in it for 7 years, they'll do a 23-year mortgage. So they're still keeping the same amortization term, but maybe lowering the rate, maybe getting some cash out. There's all kinds of different opportunities.
The other piece of bad news, and this one kind of affects, I think, anybody who has a mortgage out there that counts on that mortgage interest deduction for their taxes every year. This is part of the Trump tax plan, or at least it's been talked about. What are your thoughts about this, and how likely are we to see this come to fruition?
You know, it's one of those things they've been talking about. I believe Mr. Greenspan years ago had actually broached this topic, and it got pretty quiet, but then it's kind of gained some momentum here recently. I personally don't think it's a good idea. Number one, we see a lot of people that are at a point in their lives where they don't have kids in the house anymore. They don't have any tax deductions, so they'll come in, and they don't have a mortgage. They'll come in and get a home equity, or they'll come in and get a first mortgage, cash out to get that tax deduction. That's one of the big reasons people buy a house right now.
Yeah, and I know just anecdotally from people I know myself. I mean, you're talking anywhere from, you know, $4,000 to $12,000, depending on what you owe. But that's a huge chunk of money that you would, I guess, it would translate into a tax increase.
Into a tax increase, correct, because you wouldn't be able to take that write-off anymore. And they were talking about if you What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word.
I know that one of the
stories, itemize.
Itemize, yeah.
Yeah, if you itemize your deductions, and then you won't get it. But then if you do get it, then you look at two different factors. It's saying it's supposed to help the middle class. And one of the reports said if you buy a home that's worth $301,000, it will benefit you. The next one you read says if you buy a home that's $805,000, what is that? That's not middle class, no matter where you look. I mean, they were looking at the average home price in Indianapolis is $140,000. So where does that $300,000 to $800,000 help those people? It doesn't.
And the argument is, too, that I think what you were looking for earlier was the standard deduction. They have proposed raising that standard deduction, doubling it in some cases. But if you've, if you've a normal person, you have other expenses, your itemized deductions are way more than that.
Well, absolutely. You're going to end up losing money and not being able to take the mortgage right off.
The other thing, too, is you think this will discourage home buyership? Because we're at that point now in the United States where people are buying houses. The home ownership is increasing, but do you think this might put that off track?
The reason I don't think it's a good idea is right now home ownership is at a 51-year low. How will this help people swing that number around? If it's at a 51-year low, you should be doing things to assist people buying homes. Phenomenal grant programs. Associated Bank has several of them. So taking money out of your pocket and taking tax deductions away from you, I don't think is going to cure a problem that's 51 years old.
Do you deal with people getting mortgages every day? Do they mention this when they're doing this? Is this one of the bonuses of buying a house?
They do bring it up, but it's really tough to comment on. Because you don't know which way it's, and they'll ask, what do you think? Mm-hmm. If I had a crystal ball, I wouldn't be sitting here. It's one of those things where you want to guide them in the right direction, but it's not even in its infancy. Like I said, it's been talked about for a while, but you never know when it's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow, it might not happen again, and it may have an effect with the Fed raising the rates again, or thinking about raising the rates again.
You mentioned the folks that are looking to actually get this deduction, get interest, taking out mortgages. Is it worth considering refinancing if you're one of those people, or maybe you're already in a mortgage where you're paying interest thinking, okay, I'm going to get this back at the end of the year. Refinance it and start using that money now.
Absolutely, right. And it all depends on what you need it for. If your rate is where it is, and that's where it kind of goes back to what we've been saying for the last year, it's the relationship with the banker at Associated Bank. Call up. We'll tell you. It's not really worth it's pointless to do it. Or you could be saving $200 to $300 a month, get money out for college, different expenses. So it's really an individual. There's no blanket answer. It's a one-on-one conversation that's going to point them in the right direction.
How often do you deal with the folks who have who want to buy a house and they come to you and they say, my spouse has problems with credit or there's an issue with an ex or something like that? Is this a big deal when people are buying homes?
It's a big deal, and sometimes it's more of a surprise. I always, when we pull credit, say, can we review it? Once I didn't ask, and I reviewed it with both of them, and there was a jewelry store charge on his, and she didn't have any new jewelry. So that I don't think they ever bought a house after that. But it is one of those things where you do want to review it. You want to go over your credit. People need to get that free credit report every year and monitor what's on there. There could be erroneous reporting that you wouldn't know unless you look at your credit, and it could be too late by the time you go to apply for a mortgage.
It's one of those rare cases where you become not only the mortgage guy but the marriage counselor in
Absolutely.
Some cases. How do you tell people to, or how do people even broach this subject with their spouse if they find problems or issues or one spouse has bad credit? How do you even begin that conversation?
Well, and it's funny, obviously, how much people disclose to one another. Credit normally isn't one of those topics. It's not one of those things that come up on the first date. Hey, before we go any further, what's your credit score? Sometimes you're into it so deep and you do go apply for a mortgage. And again, it goes back to the conversation. Don't apply for a mortgage when you want to buy a house. Apply for a mortgage when you think you might want to buy a house. So if there are any credit hurdles, any hurdles, savings, you have time to fix it. Once you get in and it's too late and you're kind of under the gun, not a lot can be done. But it is very, extremely fixable. Mm-hmm. You're not out of hope.
Can one spouse with a good credit score help the other repair theirs, and how would that work?
No, it individually has to be repaired. If one spouse has poor credit and one spouse has good credit, and that one spouse with good credit has enough income, they could purchase the home by themselves. That sometimes doesn't go over well because the ownership, the title is a little different, and sometimes it causes a little more stress in the marriage. But helping with the good credit, and if you have bad credit, that bad credit is going to be bad credit no matter how good the spouse with the good credit is on there.
Can you leave a spouse with bad credit off the mortgage?
Absolutely. If you can qualify by yourself, mm-hmm. individually, they'd have to sign a quick claim deed. They could be on the title, but it wouldn't reflect on their credit. And having a mortgage is one of your biggest credit improvers. You know, it's a positive. Making your mortgage payment, obviously, on time is going to increase your credit score.
We've had this conversation before about repairing credit. What is the timeline, do you think? If, you know, right now, let's say I want to buy a house, but I know my spouse has bad credit, it's about a year to fix that? Or
depends on what's on there. Medical collections take 7 years to drop off.
Wow.
So depending on what is bad, if it's collection accounts, if you just decided to stop paying your car note, if there's a history of bad credit, obviously the more bad credit on there will take longer. If it's just a couple of points here or there, there's little tricks you can do. If you have a $500 credit card bill and your payment is $25 and it's due on the 15th of the month, if you send them, as funny as it sounds, $5 on the 1st, send them $20 on the 10th, you spread out your payments, make incremental payments, but make that minimum payment on time, drastically increases your score.
Wow, so that's something I didn't know. That's good.
And the other thing is the credit utilization. They want to keep that 30% or less. So if you have a $1,000 credit line, you really don't want to exceed your credit exposure by about, say, $350. Once you go over that 30% utilization, your score starts ticking down a little bit. So a lot of people want to pay down their high-interest credit cards quickly, which is great. You'd be better off getting your credit utilization on all your cards down to below 30 and then go after the higher credit interest rate cards.
Is it okay to keep a credit card or two with limits that you don't use anything on them, just an open account?
Just to have them. They do like to see it used, and what they do is what also helps credit builders a lot. Associated Bank is a phenomenal credit builder program. But what also helps is if you don't have credit, amazing amount of people do not have credit. Cash, checks, they never wanted to get stuck in the credit world. Well, you don't have credit, the bank has no history of you paying people back. A great idea is open up a credit card. $1,000 credit line, put some gas in your car, a couple of dinners, pay it off every month. So you're going to have your 30% or less utilization, a zero balance, and on-time payments.
Save the good news for the end. The Chicago real estate market forecast looks pretty good next year. Maybe 10%, an increase of 10%. I'm sure you're going to like that.
You know, it is good news to keep reading down there, Steve. And as usual, it turns kind of nasty again. Lawrence Yoon, who's the chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, gave a presentation to Main Street Organization of Realtors, which is a huge organization with about 18,000 members. He was saying they're looking at about a 10% increase. They're saying that Chicago could benefit. We're also seeing jobs increase in Chicago because of that. I think we were up 2%. But then they also said Chicago is lagging behind the rest of the country. Depending on what Springfield does, they may see an exodus of people leaving Illinois. So as he's saying, you're going to see a 10% increase. It might not be in Chicago, but they're saying Chicago could actually handle that as opposed to some of the other areas with the higher values. So it does look good, and they're basing that on the houses that have been sold and the prices they've been sold at in the Chicago market.
Things to look forward to, McDonald's moving its headquarters down here. I think that's going to happen in the next year.
Absolutely.
This Amazon thing, all that's of these things could be positive.
Could be positive. And again, like we talked about before, and I know Amazon was, they wanted something near a rail line and near the expressway. So the Chicago market is definitely going to benefit in the loop. But I think the metro areas will as well, just because the great transportation with, you know, Union Station and Ogilvie. So I think you're going to see more of a spider-like effect with suburbs getting a greater bang for the buck as opposed to the downtown area itself.
Plenty to think about today, John. Thank you.
Always. Thanks, buddy.
See you next time. John Horton, a Senior Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page, and also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. You can meet all the thought leaders there and hear all of the past conversations as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Uber and Lyft could be getting more expensive in Chicago if Mayor Rahm Emanuel's budget proposal is passed. Emanuel's budget calls for an extra 15 cents per ride on top of the 52 cents the city already charges. The extra fees would be used to upgrade Chicago's public transit infrastructure. And Uptake just hired two senior executives away from GE. The startup competes directly with GE with its software that helps companies predict when their machines are going to fail. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now,
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday edition of The Opening Bell. It's deadline day for cities submitting their bids to host Amazon's H2Q, their second headquarters outside of Seattle. It is a competition that's really turned in sort of like a golden ticket event for cities as they vie for 50,000 jobs and a major investment from Amazon. We thought we'd bring in Dale Buss today, a contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine, a regular here on The Opening Bell, to talk more about this. Dale, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are you thinking here? I know Chicago's bid is in. Some other Midwestern cities are in. How is this going to shake out, do you think?
Well, as you said, today's the day, and if you don't have your act together by now and your bid in today, you don't even have a chance at the Derby. And there are going to be dozens of cities submitting bids. I mean, I was seeing that to the north of Chicago there, Milwaukee's submitting a bid. Newark, New Jersey is offering $7 billion in incentives to get Amazon's second headquarters. But really what it's going to boil down to, if you believe Amazon, is the request for proposal that they issued about a month or so ago. And I got it sitting right in front of me here. And it basically says, you know, they want a big metropolitan area. They want a stable and business-friendly environment. They want strong technical talent or the ability to attract strong technical talent. They want communities that are going to think big and creatively when considering real estate options. So if you look at that, you know, the economic development people I've talked to, and I've gotten some insight into what Amazon is thinking. You'd think Chicago would be a front runner. The city is putting together a really aggressive bid. And I think the details of that are coming out tomorrow. But it might not be that good a prospect for Chicago, actually, if you think about it.
Part of that is the business climate. I would imagine there are a couple of things that you mentioned there in their request that we've had a little bit of trouble with here in Illinois, right?
Yeah, actually, I mean, if you look at some of the main criteria, Chicago fares very well, obviously, in things like mass transportation, a hub airport, and technical talent. I mean, Chicago being as big as it is and, you know, with some of the universities and a lot of tech companies, Chicago would offer a big enough pool of tech talent, especially within, you know, 100 miles of the city, that it can play very strongly in the bidding process. But it's just hard to get by this huge requirement by Amazon that they have a quote, a stable and business-friendly environment. And as you said, I mean, the fiscal mess in Illinois means that in the end, and some economic development people feel that even though Amazon hasn't mentioned this, in the end, big financial incentives are going to play a major role. You know, maybe you don't have to come up with $7 billion like Chris Christie is in New Jersey, but you got to be able to play there. And given the, you know, the problems with the budget and spending in Springfield, it's just, you know, and in Metro Chicago, it's just hard to imagine that could be a big part of Chicago's bid, and that alone might make the city's chances not that great.
Do you look at this at all, Dale, from a geographic point of view? I mean, is it pretty likely that they're not going to put this, let's say, in Los Angeles or somewhere on the West Coast? That they're probably
From what I understand, the chances are real high that this is going to end up east of the Mississippi River, just because, you know, the geographic diversity that Amazon has said they want, you know, the ease of getting to and from this place. I mean, it only makes sense for them to leap over half the country and, you know, establish a base in the eastern United States. And from what I've heard, that means that there are places like Dallas, Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, even Nashville has emerged as a pretty strong contender. If you go by the criteria that Amazon has said is important to them. And then there are some sleeper places that are being mentioned too, places like Pittsburgh and Tampa, Indianapolis. But, you know, everybody thinks they may have a shot. Cincinnati says they're putting together a strong bid, and they have a strong regional element, which is something that Amazon is said to be desiring. So Cincinnati's bid, you know, is going to involve Dayton and basically the entire state of Ohio. In Detroit, Dan Gilbert, the billionaire behind Quicken Loans and the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's putting together a bid with people in Canada, looping in, you know, Windsor and the University of Waterloo, which is a very strong tech school. So everybody thinks they've got a chance. They're giving it their best shot. And Chicago may well.
What is going to be the timeline here? The deadline's today. When will we start seeing the inklings of a decision being made on this?
Well, all that Amazon has said is that they're going to be uttering a decision in 2018. And most people think that means early 2018. The sources that I have in the economic development community say they're going to be narrowing this down to maybe 10 by the end of the year, and that they'll reveal their decision in April. But you can only imagine the rumors and speculation, everything that's going to fly between now and then, because this is such a big deal, and cities have placed so much on the table and emphasized this to such a great degree. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of leaks come out.
And also, too, I mean, even though the bid package goes in today, this is one of those things where if you're a candidate city or think you're a candidate city, you've got to watch your P's and Q's going forward, too, even if your bid's already in.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess what you mean is you don't want to be the one leaking information. Is that what you mean?
Perhaps that, or even, something bad happening in your city or state that you might have been able to prevent as you're into this bidding process.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And again, about Chicago, I mean, that means, there's only so much control you have over the fiscal situation in the state, and there's always news coming out about that. So that could be a potential negative for Chicago. But another thing to keep in mind here is that, no matter what happens, this whole process for each city involved, including Chicago, has really created a positive of bringing people together, around the table, saying, what is it about our location that's great? What do we need to do to maybe improve going forward? If we don't get Amazon's second headquarters, maybe we're highlighting some things that we need to do to become attractive to investment, by other companies over the long term.
There was a story yesterday, Dale, I'm not sure if you saw it, from the Associated Press. They went to Seattle to talk about what has happened there in the wake of Amazon One. And it wasn't all sunshine and lollipops. I mean, the people that were, they talked to the Associated Press said, we've got a lot of construction and jobs, but there are some negative things here, too, that come with this headquarters. Is that something that cities should be thinking about?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's hard to imagine, that a second Amazon headquarters will become as dominant in any area as Amazon has already become in Seattle. But, yeah, you definitely have to be concerned about a company coming in and wanting to employ, up to 50,000 people. A city like Chicago could probably handle that, but maybe a smaller place like a Nashville, suddenly Amazon comes in and sucks up all the available digital talent, and other companies are left, fighting for the scraps or having to pay exorbitant salaries just to keep people. And there are some places that actually have looked at all this and bowed out. I think San Antonio, Texas is one city that initially took a look and then said, we're just not even going to try here, for a number of reasons. So, yeah, that's definitely a factor.
All right, Dale. Good chat this morning. Good hearing from you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Dale Buss with us this morning from Michigan, contributor at Forbes and Chief Executive Magazine. You can follow him, too, on Twitter at Dale D. Buss.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures, Dow futures now off 113 points. NASDAQ futures down 37, S&P futures off about 11. Let's get you the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
And good morning, Steve. The unusual crop weather for 2017 continues. Flying back from Arizona yesterday afternoon, a lot of fields across Iowa and Illinois still waiting to be harvested. But probably the most noticeable thing from the air, the lack of fall color. because in the Chicago areas, we came into O'Hare Field and started to let down just simply no fall color. It's all green yet, and that probably is because of the dry, hot weather that we had in the late summer. And as a result, we're not seeing much change in the grain market in the overnight trade. We're up slightly. December wheat currently trading up 0.75 cents a bushel, December corn up 1.25 cents, and November soybeans up 2 cents, well off the $10 a bushel that we saw earlier in the week. So that's a quick look at agriculture. You have a great day, and I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, Orion, thank you. You too. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook. For Thursday, October 19th, the Labor Department reports today on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Freddie Mac, the mortgage company, releases weekly mortgage rates. Today's the 30th anniversary of Black Monday. The stock market crash in 1987 happened on this day. Also, the deadline for pitches for Amazon's HQ2 location. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, October 19th.